Alex, I believe I have reached the equivalent of nirvana.
Tell me more.
Well, I have been sleeping on my cozy earth sheets.
Wow.
And when I get up in the morning, I put on my fantastic jogger suit.
Yes.
Which is a funny way to put it, but you started saying that, so I'm just going to keep on going. And it is opening my mind to things I didn't know I could open my mind to.
Casey, all I have to say is, welcome to the other side.
It's incredible, Alex.
I've lived two lives. One of them is before Cozy Earth, and one is after.
Which is right now.
That's right. We're talking Cozy Earth. They make incredible, soft, lovely, temperature-controlled bedding and cozy wear.
Cozy Earth makes the best clothes I think I've ever touched, that have ever touched my skin.
Casey, I'm right there with you.
It's soft, it's breathable, it's temperature regulated, it looks good, it feels good, which makes it good.
And how about this for good? All of their products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. So if for some completely batshit reason you don't love these sheets, you can return them.
Now, Alex, right around the corner is Mother's Day. If you haven't already done something, which you should have,
yeah,
now's your moment. Go buy your mom some Cozy Earth, because it is the thing that will help her sleep at night. It's the thing that will help keep her comfortable at all moments of her life. And that's what you want for your mom.
So she isn't up all night thinking about what a disappointment her children are.
Exactly, because they didn't get her Cozy Earth. You don't want to be on that level.
Well, Casey, here's some exciting news. All Completely Arbitrary listeners get 35% off at CozyEarth.com with promo code TREES. Again, that's promo code TREES, T-R-E-E-S, for 35% off at Cozy Earth. So get yourself cozy. Get your mom cozy. Hell, get your dad cozy and your friends cozy.
Yeah, it doesn't have to stop there, you know?
Make the earth cozy with Cozy Earth.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about trees and other related topics. I'm one of your hosts, Alex Croson.
I'm also here, Casey Clapp, host the second.
Wow.
Dose.
All right.
Mutualistic symbiosis here.
I think so too, Casey.
You and me, you scratch my back, I scratch yours.
Mm-hmm. Until the day I worm my way into your brain and kill you.
Wow, that is not what I was expecting, but okay, that sounds good. I'm going to start to keep my guard up a little bit.
Oh, well.
Why don't you stay over there?
I got some projects to work on in the meantime. Casey, this is, as you said in our first take, the penultimate episode.
Exactly. One of my favorite terms.
Of Seven Deadly Sins.
Yep.
This is Seven Deadly Stems.
I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to let you have that.
Will I ever learn?
That's right, Alex. We're doing it again. We have this one, then one more, and then, well, we're back to, you know, whatever, trees.
We're back to being good Christian boys.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. We are back to we're on the straight and narrow again.
Instead of living a life of STEM.
God, I love that. It just really tickles me.
Casey, today we are proud to announce that we are discussing the Ohio Buckeye.
Yeah, I see what you're doing.
Is that Aeschylus glabra?
That is. I really appreciate your strange pronunciations. It's not wrong. It's just different.
Is it Aeschylus?
I would just do Aeschylus.
Aeschylus.
Yes, I wouldn't put so much emphasis on the U and the U.
I see.
And not Aeschylus. But I would just go Aeschylus. But then again, I say it the way of the Greek playwright, which is not this person. Mm. But in fact, apparently it has... this scientific name is named by Linnaeus to this genus, and it is a reference to an oak that provides edible acorns.
Well, Casey, this being seven deadly stems, of course, people can do the math. We have two left. Today, we are talking pride.
That's right. And I think that this episode, we should only refer to the podcast as the Completely Arbitrary Podcast.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's what other podcasts call us when they talk about us or our guests.
You can sometimes see, like, if we get an email from someone mm-hmm. who's just like, it's just like a cold call email.
Right.
Like, hi, Alex and Casey from the Completely Arbitrary Podcast. Like, that is just like so weird. Hello, Alex and Casey from the city of Portland, Oregon.
Right.
Like, what?
We should put that in our contract with everyone to call us Completely Arbitrary, not the Completely Arbitrary Podcast.
Now interesting that
you
say it.
It's like the Garbage Pail Kids movie. Casey, before we get into this week's tree and the idea of pride.
Yeah.
Did you know that our podcast is supported fully by the lovely Fungal Associates who listen to us?
I did, Alex. I knew that and I support them back.
That's right. And you know how they support us, Casey, with Completely Arbitrary Treemium.
Wow.
That's right. If you go to arbitrarypod.supercast.com, that's arbitrarypod.supercast.com. There are a couple different options there to support this podcast monetarily. And here are some fun things you get in return.
First, you get bonus episodes, bonus us talking, live extra episodes, all sorts of crazy stuff like that, which is in addition to what you get here free every week.
Things you can't hear anywhere else. Also, video episodes. Also, live streams. Also, ad-free listening.
I forget about that every time.
I know, it's so cool. And also, Casey, probably our favorite aspect of our support platform, Completely Arbitrary Treemium, is the Cone Club.
That's right.
If you are in the Cone Club every month, you get sent to your physical actual mailbox a sticker of an illustrated conifer cone.
That's right.
A different species every month, a different artist every month. Mm-hmm. And if you want all of those amazing rewards and to support this podcast, go to arbitrarypod.supercast.com and become a Treemium member today. Casey Clapp.
Yeah.
We are talking pride today. We are proud to talk about this tree. Uh-huh. We are proud to present you this episode, but it must happen after a quick break. We'll be right back with our sixth deadly stem here on Completely Arbitrary. Hey, let me ask you this. You ever taken a walk and just felt inspired? Maybe you discovered your new favorite restaurant, or popped into the library and found a book that you really wanted to read, or you're like, hey, I think this car dealership used to be a Taco Bell. Well, there's a podcast about this kind of thing now with comedian and actor Alan McLeod, one of the funniest guys. It's called Walking About. It's a new podcast that treks into the simple joy of walking and its connections to health, history, creativity, and of course, community. In each episode, Alan invites a friend to share a little stroll and see where the sidewalk takes him. Alan McLeod has guests including Mike Mitchell, Spoon Man, Spoon Nation for Life. You got Colton Dunn. You got Janet Varney, Eva Anderson, Whitmer Thomas, Gabrus, Ed Begley Jr., Catherine Spears, Andy Richter, and of course, Burger Boy, Nick Weiger. Some of the funniest people. You know this podcast is going to be an absolute hoot. Maybe you could even listen to it while you're taking your walks. So lace up your podcasting shoes and listen to Walking About out now, wherever you get your pods. You know, here I am at the ripe old age of 35. And one thing that has become really important to me just over the last couple of years is privacy. Besides what I tell you here on the podcast, I basically don't want anyone to know anything about me unless I choose to tell them. And one way I up my privacy game is with NordVPN. Now, if you are like me and didn't know what a VPN was until a couple of weeks ago, let me tell you, a VPN is a virtual private network. And I said to myself, well, sure, that sounds cool, but I really don't know what it is or does. And then the moment I turned it on, I said, ah, I get it now. A VPN changes your IP address, hides your virtual location, and encrypts your connection, which allows you to increase your privacy online. How many times per day do you get scam calls or spam email because your data got leaked somehow? I also get emails from companies saying, hey, I see you bought something with us recently. Unfortunately, we got hacked and your data is now being used to harm you. With a VPN, you do not have to worry about any of this. It secures you when you're using public Wi-Fi. It stops marketers and internet service providers from tracking and collecting your browsing history and your messages and lots of other private data. And you can change your location to any of hundreds of countries, unlocking the power of, I don't know, say, British Netflix. I didn't know how important it was until I started using one. That's the truth. So if you just want to check out the features and see if it's right for you, I bet there's something about a VPN that will surprise you. So get started with NordVPN at nordvpn.com/trees. That's nordvpn.com/trees. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and the link is in the description. Now go get secure. Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary, Seven Deadly Stems. Today we are talking the Ohio Buckeye.
That's right.
Scientific name is, of course,
Aeschylus glabra.
Aeschylus glabra.
That's right.
Casey, is there not a mascot of a college called the Ohio Buckeye?
There is, Alex.
Cool.
Really good job.
I made a sports reference.
Yeah, you did. I'm really happy about that because this entire episode is a sports reference.
Is it really?
Yes.
Well, I'll go take a nap.
Nope, because if you do, I'm going to bring this microphone right next to you. I'm going to pull a chair up and I'm just going to talk right into your ear.
Casey, let's imagine that you and I are traipsing around the campus of Ohio State or wherever, University of Ohio.
Alex, please. The Ohio State University.
The Ohio State University.
Alex, again.
Oh.
The Ohio State University.
The Ohio State University.
It's like you're not even listening.
What the fuck am I saying? The Ohio State
there
University.
There we go. That's what Jesus. I'm talking about.
I was taking my own spin on it.
Yeah, hey, that's literally against, it's not the name.
Casey, let's imagine.
now you're doing, Casey, let's imagine.
Casey, let's imagine that you and I are traipsing around the, how about we're taking a campus tour of the Ohio State University.
Now you're quelling the masses.
And we come across some Ohio Buckeyes in the flesh. Let's ID this tree.
All right. So, Alex, first thing you're going to notice is you're going to question, is that in fact a tree? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
I'm going to say it's a tree. So this is a broadleaf deciduous tree that grows kind of shrubby-ish for a while, but can actually become pretty substantially tree size.
Okay.
But I haven't seen anything really shout at me that it grows more than maybe 40 feet. But I think, like, you know, you get the extraordinary examples that they're like, wow, this one's just 75 feet.
Cool.
And it creates a nice little rounded crown. Like, it's not a gigantic tree. A closely related buddy of it is the yellow buckeye, which is Aeschylus flava. And that is a tree that gets really big.
It's flava.
Excuse me. You're right. Flava. Yes, so that is the big one. So if you are wandering around, let's say, the campus of The Ohio State University, you would notice that there are two main species that are native to Ohio.
Interesting.
One is this tall, big, huge one called the yellow buckeye. The other one's the smaller, more rounded crown, which is the Ohio buckeye.
I gotcha. Okay, so this is the little cousin.
Yeah, exactly. Little cousin, but for whatever reason, became the more popular. You could have called either one the Ohio buckeye.
Sure.
But this is the one that ended up getting the name.
Interesting.
So it is, again, like I said, small tree. And what you'll notice as you walk up is that it has, famously, like all the other buckeyes, or rather horse chestnuts, it has palmately compound leaves that are oppositely arranged.
Before we get to the leaves, Casey.
Yeah.
I need to talk to you about your drinking.
No, oh my God.
I need to.
I have nothing in front of me. What is happening? Turns out this is like an intervention from everyone in the podcast.
Guys, come out of my closets.
Oh my God. It's our entire audience. You guys have been here.
They're all here. Before we talk about the leaves.
Yeah.
You mentioned horse chestnut. And when I look at this tree, I'm like, oh, this looks like what I know as a horse chestnut.
Yeah.
Are these related closely?
They are literally in the same genus. Aeschylus hippocastinum is the European horse chestnut. Aeschylus glabra is the one we're dealing with.
So the buckeye is a chestnut.
Yes, they are the same thing.
Or horse chestnut.
Yes, correct.
One word, not hyphenated.
Exactly. Yes. You could hyphenate it also if you wanted to.
Casey, please continue. Let's chat leaves.
All right. The leaves, as I noted.
Yes.
Palmately compound and oppositely arranged.
We don't see many palmate compound leaves.
And we see almost zero that are both oppositely arranged and palmately compound.
Okay.
And there is 5 elliptic to obovate leaflets. Obovate meaning that it is the opposite of ovate. Ovate meaning it's egg-like. So if you look at an egg, the bottom is wider than it kind of tapers to a rounded point at the top.
Yes.
Now flip that upside down.
Wow.
Does the exact opposite. You add that OB to the front of it.
Uh-huh.
So this obovate. Obovate. Okay. Yeah. So it tapers from the base up and out, and the widest part is nearer the tip of the leaf, and then it quickly kind of closes in with a teeny tiny little tip.
There's a style of sword like that.
Oh, really?
I want to say it's scimitar, but I don't know for sure. But they're like good for hacking things.
Oh, nice.
They have more weight at the front.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I could see that. Yeah, because they're just a little bit heavier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, this is of that case. This is a very similar situation like that.
I love this leaf, Case.
They're really really nice.
Yeah.
I think that normally you see a leaf and you're like, okay, it's great. And every picture I've seen of this, maybe they just got lucky. They're just like really nicely put together. The color looks good.
Yeah.
The leaf shape, the how intensely and symmetrically the veins come off. Like,
totally.
They're just a good looking leaf.
Yeah,
you know?
Good design.
Yeah.
I'll say this is sort of like the cool Portland rebrand of like a marijuana leaf.
Oh, yeah.
It just looks modern and really
totally.
Cool.
I could see that. Yeah, that's funny. So anyway, I think they're pretty good looking leaves, Alex. I'm with you. Now, I should note, they always have, I say always, but like 99% of the time, they have 5 leaflets. Our horse chestnut that you're familiar with has 7.
Ah, good ID comparison.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the fun little prideness of this, it's the fruit. The fruit is the thing that it's all about.
The buck eye.
It is the eye of the buck.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about that in just a second. First, I need to note that it has yellow flowers.
Cool.
And anyway, moving on.
These are I will of course get this wrong, but my instinct is to say raceme.
They are. They are born in a raceme. Good work.
Is that the first time I've ever correctly identified one of these like weird flowers, these non-simple flowers?
Oh, Alex, I just checked myself, and technically they're panicles. I'm so sorry. I thought they were for a second, because as I was looking through here, I was like, oh yeah, that looks exactly like what I'm thinking of. I just wish you were better.
Well, speaking of pride, I've just had mine hurt.
You're pretty wounded now. I'm sorry.
Panicles. Okay.
It is a panicle. Now, the reason that you are close and the reason that I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure, and then didn't actually get it right, is that panicles are just racemes where the very lowest ones are also branched. So it's just it looks very similar, certainly superficially. But if there is, you have a seam is just one single central axis with individual flowers coming off on little individual stems. The main stem is called the peduncle. The little stems are called the pedicels.
That's right.
So if you then have a branches off of the branches, that takes it from raceme to panicle.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, Case. Well, that is the flower. They're pretty straightforward.
Wow, they are not. Are you even looking this up?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Alex is over there looking at something else entirely. You got to look at these flowers. They're wild.
They're pretty cool. They're not straightforward at all.
Oh,
I take
thank
it back.
You. I was going to say, we're going to get canceled from everyone in Ohio, at least who's proud of their state / college.
Gosh, Casey, you know what? We talked about shrubs recently on a bonus episode, and these flowers, these little flowerlets,
yeah,
look a lot like, we talked about a vine.
The honeysuckle, Lonicera. Yes. Yeah, they kind of do. I think Lonicera ends up having usually longer stamen, and then it's petals and sepals like reflex really intensely.
Mm-hmm.
So you can like, it looks almost like it's exploding out.
Yeah.
This, I think, does the same thing, but the petals don't quite reflex near as much, but they do send up two petals of their four almost directly upwards.
Little rabbit ears.
Yeah. And they have like orange on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ones that are below kind of come out and almost present their sex parts, which is, you know, again, we took a photo shoot the other day. Now it was like a while ago. We could make lust for everything. We should just keep doing lust for all of them.
Our boudoir photo shoot.
Exactly. Our boudoir photo shoot with just leaves and flowers. It is presenting itself. It's very much a pollinator's flower because it says, come in here,
totally.
Fly past the stamen. And then as soon as it gets to the nectar, then it's now rubbing all of the stamen that it just kind of went through on the receiving bits on the top. It's not quite what you'd expect in the sense of it being a style and everything, because it's kind of fused up there. So the flowers are just kind of really interesting that way. Really kind of, they're gorgeous. They really are.
They're pretty cool.
I like their two-tonedness. I like how they kind of flare out and look cool. Anyway.
Yeah, I like that kind of coral color that the rabbit ears have on them.
So people dig it. Apparently the flowers smell good. The leaves don't smell good. It's also sometimes called the fetid buckeye.
Oh, I know that word.
Fetid? No.
I think it's right? Fetid.
Yeah.
I want to say fetid.
Right? Yeah, I think that's the right way to do it.
But that basically means like rotten.
Exactly. Or stinking buckeye. Yeah.
Strong or unpleasant.
Exactly. So you smell it, you mess it with the leaves a little bit, it'll really smell bad. So just walk over there, don't touch the leaves, smell the flowers. They're a little bit fragrant, not like wildly so. The thing, though, that everyone, of course, loves is the buckeye, which is the fruit. Now, you'll notice, if you look this up, you'll probably see what you think is the fruit, which is technically the seed, the buckeye.
Sure. That's inside this sort of spiky shell.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like this kind of mustard yellow, mace-looking, spiky, round, egg-shaped thing.
Yeah.
Like it looks very much like something you find as like an alien egg, I imagine.
Totally. It looks like a little gremlin.
Yeah, it kind of does. Gremlin egg. So this little gremlin egg, they pop off of these panicles and they are kind of leathery husks with sharp little spikes.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sharp in the sense that they're going to like really hurt you, but like if someone threw it at you and you caught it, you'd be like, that's a little pokey.
Okay.
I don't like that you did that. Thank you very much. But the good thing is you open them on up and there you have it.
What a treat.
The beautiful chestnut brown buckeyes.
So a buckeye is a horse chestnut.
Yes.
I mean, the seed itself, right?
Yes, and that is the seed. It is not a nut, as most people think. So it's actually a big, like, gigantic-sized seed.
But I would say culinarily, it's a nut.
Yes, I think that would be the correct way to call it. However, while you say that, we should put a quick note out there.
Hmm.
Don't eat it. It's poisonous.
I did not know this.
Yes, you can leach it out. Many native peoples ate this, but they... My understanding is it wasn't like, yeah, let's go eat that. It was like, yeah, well, it's there, so we're gonna leach it out. It was a bit of a process, and it wasn't great and tasty, but it had some starches and some things that you wanted.
Probably one of those, like, second resort foods.
Yeah,
I think
probably, yeah. I don't think everyone jumped out of their skin, as they would have for the actual American chestnut,
which
was delicious and sweet, and everyone would have loved that, but, you know, no longer.
This is a deceiver. Casey, I know a fun fact and I'm not sure if it's a true fact,
uh-huh,
about the buckeye, the seed.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's got this little white circle on the top of it,
yeah,
which is where it connects to the bud, I guess.
It's like essentially the belly button.
Right.
Yeah.
Where it's connected to the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard, possibly from this podcast,
I think so,
that the reason it's called buckeye,
yeah,
is because these seeds were used in taxidermy for bucks, male deer.
Yeah.
You put them in their eye socket and it would look like an eyeball.
Yeah. And you know what? I believe you did hear that from this podcast. But Alex, I could not actually corroborate that in a way that I saw that it was like, yes, this is consistently done, or was consistently done, I should say. It's not anymore. Now we actually have, you know, fake eyes and things like that,
sure,
that look way better.
Like a ceramic eyeball.
Yeah. So okay. I honestly cannot, I'm not sure, and I did not reach out to any taxidermists to say, hey, did you guys used to do this, like, in your profession? So if you are a taxidermist out there and you you can give us some good info, let me know.
A taxidermist from the 1860s,
exactly,
or so.
Exactly. Give us a phone. Alex actually has an old 1920s phone in this apartment right here.
okay, cool. But you and I have been talking about the phrase Occam's razor a lot recently.
Yeah.
I think this is sort of the Occam's razor. I think it is very likely that is a true story.
It could be. And here is the other version of that story that I ended up finding.
Wow.
Which is, the United States existed first as these 13 colonies. Then they expanded out a little bit to the east. And then at that time, the Northwest Territories,
mm-hmm,
was essentially the Ohio Valley, like moving up over towards what is now Illinois in that area.
Okay.
But it was essentially this giant wilderness. I remember a documentary from years ago. It wouldn't be well received today. It was all about the United States and like how the United States essentially colonized and conquered all of North America. But it was,
did it play as like, look at this cool thing we did?
No, it was essentially just, it was like a History Channel documentary.
Okay.
But I think it was like the story of us.
Oh,
you know, and
God.
I was like, oh God. Okay. So now I look back and I'm like, okay, the story of us is the story of a very specifically small group of white people here.
It's like actual propaganda.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, it very well could have been. But you know, looking back, sorry, History Channel, you got a lot of stuff not quite right, yeah, but yeah. They were doing their thing. We,
sure,
get it. So this whole thing, one thing I remember about that documentary is that Indiana was a fucking wilderness, which is funny now. You think of Indiana today as a wilderness and you just kind of laugh like, okay, I guess.
Right.
Gary is pretty intense.
Sure.
But it was like Indian territory. This was where all these like scary forests were that were filled with native peoples that no one wanted to go into. It was very frightening kind of thing. So at that point, I think I read that Marietta, Ohio was the first real permanent settlement in what was at the time Northwest Territories, mm-hmm, of this fledgling country, literally like 20 years after, maybe even 10 or 5 years after the whole War of Independence and all of this.
So it was like the frontier at that time.
Precisely.
Okay.
So this was, this guy had come over, and this is from the Cincinnati Inquirer, which is great. So I was like, is this the Inquirer? Then I realized, no, the National Inquirer,
right,
is the one that I'm not quite as interested in. but this guy just did a quick little article that said that they essentially... this big, this really cool looking general or whatever came over,
mm-hmm,
and the natives that were there, like some traders, looked and commented and called him the Buckeye or the Eye of the Buck because he had big eyes. And then another reference said that the indigenous people in that area called the Europeans, they didn't necessarily call them a particular name, but they started to get the nickname Buckeye, referring to the eyes of the male deer because they were so big.
Interesting.
So they're like, yes, these white people coming over have big eyes.
Oh.
So that became known as the Buckeye. And then where I think your story, which was, you know, my story, which is a story that I heard, came in, because they started referring to these seeds as buckeyes because of exactly what you talked about.
Okay.
So it's very likely that all these things kind of come together.
Sure.
But this was just a very common tree in the area that ended up getting the same name as buckeye. I'm not sure if that directly came from the indigenous people's name for this plant or not, but it ended up becoming this cultural thing for all these people that lived in this area called Ohio.
Wow.
And it became their thing.
Like, yeah.
First, it was a positive thing where everyone's like, hey, yeah, you're a Buckeye. Great, cool. We're all just Buckeyes. But then, apparently, Alex, it went from being like kind of a point of pride, just kind of a nickname, like, ah, you old Buckeye. Yeah, right, good. Here, get your cider. They became a little bit of like, became a little bit of a derisive term.
Sure.
And so a little bit about the wood of the Buckeye. It's a very like, even creamy grain tree. You can't tell the sapwood from the heartwood, and it's very soft to the point where if you start like working it, it will get kind of like raised hairs and things on it.
Wow.
Yeah. So this happens if you work with wood that's really like soft grained. Some wood, like you take walnut and you take a planer on it and you just go whoosh and take off a tiny little layer, that is going to be very smooth. Oak is very similar in that regard.
It's because the grain is so soft that it frays.
Yes, almost. Exactly. Yeah. That's perfect. That's a great description. Aspen does this, some cottonwoods.
Okay.
Lindens, I think, do this often, more often than not, at least.
That's why you want some sandpaper on there after.
Exactly. But even so, the sandpaper just tears wood fibers.
Yeah.
So if you sand it, if you use even the tiniest, the really like most fine grained sandpaper, you'll still kind of have a bit of a rough edge.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's not great wood for woodworking in a strict sense, but in the sense of, well, we need to build a cabin or we need to build a bowl or something that we want to carve, it was really good for that.
Sure.
It's very soft wood and very malleable, and it decays in like no time at all.
It decays in no time at all?
Yeah. In fact, as I read on the wood database, it is considered degradable or biodegradable, I guess is what it is. But essentially, it is not even so good at staying undecayed that it's like they don't even refer to it as like, yeah, it will like sit there for a little while. They're like, no, it's kind of like just flour and water. It's just gonna go
pfft. Wow.
Yeah. So apparently it just really does not stick around for a long time.
It's kind of a bummer because like the seeds, which you look at this, you see this tree and you're like, oh, as a human, as like a Homo sapien, I would look at this plant and be like, oh, here's the thing that I collect from this plant. It's these seeds, right?
Yeah.
Oh, they're poisonous. Oh, fuck. Okay. Let me use the wood to build something. Oh, there was one rain and now it's like soggy and
exactly.
Like falling apart.
Sorry.
Great.
The word I was looking for is perishable. It's listed as perishable.
Okay.
Which I think is so funny that you'd call wood like perishable. Like, oh, geez, put the buckeye
in the fridge.
Or else it's going to go bad.
Wrap it in saran wrap.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a bummer that like this plant that is like prime for using, all of its usable parts are kind of a flop.
Yeah, a little bit. And that is kind of how this nickname became a little bit of a derision, a derisive term.
Sure.
Where there was also like new people who would move in and immigrate into this area to help colonize the rest of all this whole space. Very good, delicious, fertile land, I should note.
Mm.
Also filled with trees. So you can cut them down and plant your crops.
Sure.
So they would call the natives, as well as the very first colonists who stayed there and then started to create their own families, the second, third, fourth waves that came, they basically called them, you are just like the Ohio Buckeye, soft and native.
Ah.
And I was like, ooh, what a burn.
Wow.
Well, anyway, the whole idea of being a Buckeye just kind of got solidified in the zeitgeist of being from this part of the world.
Wow.
Now, over the next several decades, it became this very big point of pride for these people, to the point where in 1950, it was adopted by the Ohio State University as their mascot.
Ah.
That was 3 years before the whole state in 1953 adopted the Buckeye of Ohio, Aeschylus glabra, as the state tree of the entire state.
Wow. They really went all in on this
They sure did.
Tree.
And then they ended up getting called the Buckeye State.
Sure.
So now it is the Buckeye State.
Oh my
the state
gosh.
Tree is the Ohio Buckeye, and their college is the Buckeyes.
It's almost like a psychological obsession, Casey.
It's a lot. It truly is.
I'm sure they have like Buckeye festivals.
They do.
And Buckeye, local Buckeye flower. And
yeah, I would not be surprised. Like, not even a little bit.
Yeah.
They,
so the mascot.
Yeah. Do you know what it is?
Is it a Buckeye, a humanoid mm-hmm. with a Buckeye seed for a head?
Yes.
Does he have like antenna or something?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No. That would make it into an alien.
That would
make
him,
That'd
be pretty cool. That would make him a Marvin the Martian, I think.
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah. This in fact is, Ruckus, I think his name is, or Rufus. What is it? Yeah,
Brutus.
Brutus.
A2.
Yeah, A2 Brutus.
But yeah, he is literally a human. Humanoid in striped old-timey jail clothing with a giant Buckeye for a head.
That is it. That's what it is.
And a frozen smirk that just screams in pain.
Which is, honestly, I love it. And it got me thinking, like, how much, like, trees are a big prideful thing.
Really quick, Casey.
Yeah.
Can I insert a little something before
absolutely.
You go into
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah,
I don't want to... Casey... also, have you seen the original outfit?
No.
Or costume, I should say. It looks like almost like Humpty Dumpty-esque. The head.
Wow.
So imagine like one of those like, you know, Disneyland character heads.
Yeah.
But the head is so big it goes down to the person's waist.
That is disgusting.
So it's like their whole top half. And then it looks like maybe in the 70s. It was updated to the same style, the same giant head down to the waist, but with like almost like a felt outside, you know, a little more detail.
Yeah, okay.
And then...
They went Kia on us.
And then they got all Kia on us.
Yeah, the poor gerbils.
They got they got new on us and updated
sharp
it to...
fit.
A sexy young Buckeye.
The new Buckeye.
And he rides around on a skateboard.
Ah, so cool.
Listens to rap music.
Oh, wow. It's new age. Well, that is, it became, right? Like, they are in every way, like, whether or not you go to the Ohio State University, which, Alex, is a quick side note.
Wow.
I did a little quick looking up. The only reason it's called this is that they were trying to get away from the... like normal branded OSU, which is the same exact branding as the Oregon State University and the Oklahoma State University. They're all OSU as like a logo.
Yeah.
Except in the mid 80s, the university was like, we got to get away from this. Like OSU is over. It's too done. All those Beavers over there are stupid. All those Okies or Sooners down there, whichever one they are. Sorry, guys. I didn't do research on that university. We got to get rid of this. Let's be new and interesting. So they changed the name, and in the official thing, they ended up changing it from the, open quote, Ohio Agricultural and Mechanical College, close quote, to, open quote, the Ohio State University, close quote.
Wow.
So they noticed that this was very specifically like included in the name. It wasn't just like there was a in front of it. It was a part of the name.
Yeah. I Googled it.
Yeah.
Thinking that you were kind of having fun with it, or you had some like inside joke that I didn't have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the first result is the website, The Ohio State University.
Yes, it is everywhere. Not only to the point where it's like known, they got it patented. The State University of Ohio, called The Ohio State University.
Oh boy.
It's patented to the point where on their official products, it says The Ohio State University. You may not make a product that says The Ohio State University without them saying, no, no, no. That is our brand name, not yours.
You know, this whole thing just reeks of a cry for attention.
Pridefulness, Alex, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a sin. Well, this is like the big thing that I'm kind of like on two parts about. One, everyone, the inside joke that you were talking about, yeah. If you pay attention to any sports, you really just hear anything. Anyone who says that they are from this particular higher education institution,
uh-huh.
They will always go out of their way to emphasize
right.
The Ohio State University.
I had no idea that this existed.
Yeah, it's
that's
like,
so strange.
No one will ever say, "Yeah, I went to the Ohio State University," unless they're just like casually talking to someone else who also went to the Ohio State University.
Right.
If they are talking to an unknown outsider,
mm-hmm.
It will be, "Yeah, I went to the Ohio State University," and there's like a little bah, bah, nah, 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 nah.
The Ohio State University.
Yes, there's the. And even one of my old, I guess, just colleagues with the International Society of Arboriculture, mm-hmm. Sharon Lilly, famous, fantastic arborist and educator, like was a huge, huge player in the ISA for decades.
Cool.
Went to the Ohio State University.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember distinctly, like at a conference she was getting honored at, and always same thing. Is a little bit of a joke every time someone says, "Oh, well, you went to the Ohio State University," and everyone says, "Yes, yes, the Ohio State." Like it's a trope by now.
Wow!
And it also for those of us who are just not in any way caring about Ohio colleges and their exact prideful enunciations, I just am like, oh yeah, 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 the Ohio State University. Yeah, okay, great. Mm-hmm. That's the one.
It's just that it doesn't come up in our daily.
It doesn't, and when it does, it's fun to make fun of a little. Sorry.
So Casey, of course, this episode we're talking pride.
Exactly.
I'm guessing that's not school pride.
It is. This is school pride.
Oh.
So this was one where I did not have any other extra deep things. This was in a sense. Quite low-hanging fruit, where pride is uh-huh. a huge thing for schools, universities. Like,
of course.
We're proud of our and all yeah. that stuff. Like, it's a huge, big thing. You and I have talked about it a little bit, a few times on mm-hmm. the show. And it's something that when you're at the school, you're stoked. Like, that is, you're all about it.
Sure.
Your college team and everything. And it becomes this, you know, this whole thing. You're damn proud for us Beavers here at the Oregon State University. But there's also this idea about trees in a broader sense being something that people like rally around as pride, mm-hmm. you know? So this was an obvious choice. Like it's a
yeah.
tree that is like everyone's so proud of their tree and proud to be called the seed of this tree.
Totally.
The state is named after it. I could say it's the Buckeye State that I don't technically say, you know,
the honorific yeah, is okay. named after
yes.
it. Yeah.
The people are called that. The whole university, like it's mm-hmm. all very much tied to around this one particular tree.
That's very interesting. My friend Dan Cable
uh-huh.
is on a hockey team called the Portland Pinecones.
Oh, that's great.
And Casey.
And the Portland Timbers, obviously, yes. Soccer.
Of course, yeah, and the Thorns. We might talk to our lawyers about this because their like Stanley Cup
uh-huh.
for their specifically for their team
yeah.
is a golden pine cone.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. What? Yeah. This show's about to make a couple $100 off of that team.
That's right.
Jesus.
But I wanted to say.
When you think you did something original.
I wanted to say, it might to us seem kind of dorky for an entire state to rally behind this, what is ultimately a seed from a tree.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But
yeah,
of the things you could choose, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like that's a tree. It's not, you know, the fucking Redskins or some shit.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
It could be worse.
It could be a lot worse. And when you like expand this out beyond, let's just start beyond Ohio. Every state has its state tree.
Totally,
you know,
yeah.
Like Oregon and Washington as timber states are famous for having trees. I'm wearing a Cascadia shirt that has a Douglas fir tree
yes.
right down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So trees are like, they are symbols that people rally around. I mean, Lebanon with the Lebanon of cedar. Like,
yeah.
You can find trees as symbols for states and nations and like individual institutions of some kind,
businesses.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
They are these kind of, these pointed metaphors for lots of different things. One of our longtime listeners, my good friend Scott Barry, he's got a tree on his financial advising firm, like, logo. Like, he came up with it because it's all about making sure that you are having plentiful returns and things like this. Like, it's a metaphor for basically growing and succeeding, getting larger and bigger and better and succeeding. So as a metaphor, I agree with you. I agree with you that it could be a lot worse.
Yeah. Casey, we got to give a review.
All right.
To the Ohio Buckeye. Wait, this is called the Ohio Buckeye.
This is the Ohio Buckeye.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, we're talking about the tree,
not
the people, the mascot, or what ultimately you could probably make an argument is the university.
Yeah, I got a little turned around. but we have to take a break first. We'll be right back with the exciting conclusion here on Completely Arbitrary.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. That was our discussion of the Ohio Buckeye. Casey.
Alex.
Casey.
Alex.
It's time to give a review.
Yes.
To this very culturally interesting tree.
It's culturally very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, in a way you don't expect.
Absolutely.
It's right there in front of you. But it's also under the surface.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the tree itself.
Yeah.
Here's how it works. We're going to give some final thoughts on this tree, then give it a rating of 0 to 10 golden prideful cones of honor. Mm-hmm. Casey,
mm-hmm.
as our resident expert, we'll begin with you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ohio State University's Buckeye.
Yeah,
everyone, get out of your seats. Take your shirts off. Let's make sure that you have all of your chest painted. Yes!
Wow, they're spelling out Casey is cool.
Okay. Well, you guys are missing somebody. I have two main things. This tree is not common out here in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm.
There is one heritage tree that I'm familiar with that grows over in Southwest Portland. I've seen it, tried to get a couple clippings from it one time, but it's too high, and I was too self-conscious to get out my big, tall loppers and clip a little bit off. It's a heritage tree, also. It's not a not busy area.
Yeah.
So decided not to do it, and I just looked at it and was like, I don't need to get pictures of this tree. I'll do it some other time. So I didn't get like a really good view of it.
Bummer.
Fast forward a couple weeks later, months later, I suppose, I was on a trip over in Iowa, and sitting under a tree while we were riding our bikes across the state in Ragbri.
That's right.
And there's this little tree that was growing next to me, and it has funny little fruit on it. It's like, oh, look at that. That's some kind of buckeye. I wonder what that is. So I pulled it down, and I looked at it, and I was like, nah, I don't know. I don't know what this is off the top of my head. I just put it in my pocket, which is what I always do. It's awful. Like, my pockets are so filled with detritus half the time.
I don't doubt it.
It's upsetting. However, I kept it around and then just kind of threw it in my bag and just, you know, I keep these things around because if anything, they'll dry and then I'll have them and that's fun.
Sure.
But I ended up looking it up later and saw that this was in fact an Ohio Buckeye.
Wow.
And it was a nice little lovely tree and it was shading me on like the world's hottest day in the middle of Iowa. It was a delight. It was a delight. Although as a medium-sized tree, I think it's just okay.
Yeah.
Like, I think it could be grander. I actually personally favor the yellow Buckeye. quite a bit. There's
one. Gets a lot bigger.
It gets a lot bigger, and there's a few in a park here. And God, it is just a beautiful tree. Like, it just really has a shape to it. And so I would have to say, if I was going to be doing both, I would probably put the yellow buckeye a little bit above the Ohio buckeye. But I do like that the Ohio buckeye has kind of like just crawled out from like obscure nicknames to becoming like a cultural known entity.
Totally.
Which is weird. It's just wild that that kind of thing happens. So I'm going to give it, I'm going to give it a 7.0.
Okay.
It's right down the middle. Yeah. You know, it's not bad. It's not great. It doesn't do anything. I think if I went down to 6, that would kind of, there has to be something wrong with it.
We're in danger of also like insulting an entire state of people.
True. Which, you know, we've
there's a precedence.
There is a precedent. And we have not necessarily hurt the feelings of anyone whose state we've talked about. But then they also have really cool trees, so it's easy to do. So if you if you're a state and an institution and a whole peoples that ends up defining yourself by a stupid tree,
that's on you.
Exactly. All right, the Ohio State Purple Leaf Plums.
Woo!
And you guys just rally around something else. Get out of my house.
7.0 Golden Cones of Honor.
7.0 is what I'm going to say. You got an opinion on this, Alex?
I believe I do, Casey.
He's ready.
The Ohio Buckeye.
I love when you write poems.
Here's the thing. I'm gonna do a bit of a Casey clap here.
Ooh. Talk yourself in a circle until you have to come up with a number?
until I see you staring at me from across the room.
His eyes have turned to rocks.
And by that, I mean, I am going to judge this purely as a tree.
Whoa, just from
purely arboricultural, botanical standpoint.
This is out of character, Alex.
Because usually, I'd be like, I'm gonna judge this tree on the cultural significance or the food that it gives us or whatever. Yeah. But I'm going to judge this specifically as just a tree because... To me, it's like a rags to riches story. Why this tree? You know, why rally behind a tree that is like maybe? I know it's all subjective, but maybe not something really, really special. You know?
Yes. No. You're totally right. Yeah. It's kind of just a normal run of the mill tree.
Its seeds are basically inedible unless you do a bunch of work to make. And then by that time, why not just go find other seeds that are naturally edible? The wood doesn't take well to being worked.
Yeah.
As wood
should back to nature. Yeah. Okay.
It's just like fraying and it's like shitty. It doesn't really grow tall. It's like, oh, what is this tree then? And I'm trying to find some positive here. And the positive is the cultural aspect, but I grew up in Oregon and I don't give two shits for how you feel about this tree. I'm going to give it like a 4.8.
Whoa, 4.8 on its tree merits alone.
Even that feels high to me, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry to everyone who's out there in Ohio who's listening to our show right now.
Yeah,
honestly,
sorry.
Alex, I actually feel worse for us because we just lost a huge demographic.
Yeah, the heartland, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
This is a politician's worst nightmare. Well, that was our review of the Ohio Buckeye. Casey, it's time for the completely arbitrary AMA. This week's question is from Robin. Robin says, I'm a new ISA certified arborist. Congratulations.
Yeah, very much congratulations.
For my municipality. And one thing I hear a lot of is new residents wanting to clear cut their lot so they can, quote, see it better.
Oh my God.
What are you seeing if you clear cut?
You know, I'm glad you gave me a little bit of this question. You know what? I hope to God that they are like, no, you cannot clear cut your lot to see it better.
Right.
What?
That doesn't seem like a good
reason. You bought a forest. You bought a forest.
I want to see it.
You're I just can't understand people. I'm sorry. Well, anyway, continue, Alex. That was an outburst.
That's okay, Casey. They say when the request is denied, I'm told that it's, quote, all invasives. And here's my question. When it comes to holly, how do you discern English holly from American holly? And Robin is on the Olympic Peninsula, for context, Casey.
Okay, all right, okay. Well, very good question, very good question. So the first thing is, if you are up in the Olympic Peninsula, it's very likely that you actually don't have any American holly at all.
Oh.
American holly, I've had people call it out here in Portland, and as far as I can tell, American holly is just not planted in the Pacific Northwest very often.
How about that?
It might be, but it's one of those things that if someone says, and they can say, yes, this is an American holly, I planted it. It was planted. I bought it at the nursery, and it said Ilex opaca, as opposed to Ilex aquifolium, very likely. But the Ilex aquifolium, which is the English holly, is an invasive tree, and it's been planted over here in the Pacific Northwest for many, many decades. It was used for like cut flower kind of things. Like, it's the holly that you think of,
Christmas,
right?
Holly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So it's like when you get a kids go door to door selling like Boy Scout candy or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
Like poinsettias with like holly arrangements.
You should note, it's usually the Girl Scouts that are doing the selling of the cookies.
Oh, well, I as a Boy Scout, I also sold candy out of a
box. Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, I remember that.
Yeah, but I feel like holly is mostly like, it's like what kale was in the 90s, you know, it's like a garnish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was all over the place. Mm-hmm. But people would still use it. I mean, you can still find it today. If you go like even into the Willamette Valley or a little bit to the east or west, you can find old orchards where it was all hollies that have been overgrown, but they would just grow them up to just clip them off and then send all those bits and shards all over the place.
Of English holly.
Of English holly, okay. Yeah, correct. So the English holly is really well adapted to our region. Growing over in the UK, it's always moist. It's always covered in fog. It very much is a tough plant that grows very well over here. So the difference, just real quickly, it's kind of hard. This is kind of the issue. They both have variable leaves where they will be at one point very spiny and pokey along the edges.
Mm-hmm.
With what we talked about a while back is not specifically spines, but more like spiny tips of the margins. Their serrations become very sharp and pointed.
Sure, but they're not botanically spines.
Exactly, but okay. it's a blurred line, I would say, between the two. And so they both have that, but they both also will have perfectly entire, smooth, not pokey at all leaves.
Hmm.
Those are the older leaves on mature branches that aren't being eaten by anything. They haven't been hedged or something like that.
Right.
So they don't respond with all the pokey things to keep all of the eating herbivorous animals away.
As I've always said, spines are a young tree's game.
Yes, you have. And you are like so spot on with that.
Once you get older, you don't need them. You just don't let your guard down.
Yeah, you don't have to deal with it as much. You're not attacked as much.
You have the confidence.
Exactly.
To survive.
Ooh, you're spineless. I like that.
You're spineless and confident. I'm confused.
Amazing. So English holly, it is usually just a little bit smaller. It only gets out to about 35 feet tall, so it's relatively a small tree. And it has very glossy, glossy leaves, whereas the American holly is less glossy and it's a lighter color green.
Okay.
It's kind of the best way that I can really give you a really like good description. I have noticed that the English holly has very dark red, like ruby red kind of berries, versus a little bit more translucent, lighter red on the American. But the issue is that is kind of all within the eye of the beholder. It's not, you can't just 100% be like, yeah, for sure, that's a difference.
Also, there's probably some American holly that have that deep red berry and probably some English holly that have a slightly lighter berry.
Yeah, and both of them have like 10,000 different cultivars because they're very popular like plants that you'd either put as a hedge or as something that you just kind of see around. So without like really sitting down and like doing an intense amount of like, what's the difference between these different IDs? Honestly, I would just say it's probably the English holly. That's just what it always is.
Okay.
Especially around here. So I would just, by the stats, lean towards English. If you really are questioning it, then you might have to go get like Michael Durr's Manual of Woody Landscape Plants.
Cool.
And actually see what the difference is between them.
Casey, is English holly invasive?
Horribly.
Okay, so yeah. No matter, and is American holly invasive?
American holly is not invasive, okay. But like I said, it doesn't really grow around here.
So you can kind of say like, if you see holly,
yeah,
the chances are high that it's English, and English is invasive, just get rid of it.
Yes.
Hey, English is invasive, you're telling me.
Now, so here's the thing though. Here is a bit of a question.
Did you get my joke?
Yeah, I think so.
It's about colonialism.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was good. Sorry, Alex.
Maybe my delivery could have been better.
Well, I mean, let's talk about it. So, comedic timing.
Woody Allen once said.
When it comes to invading, the second part of this question, when it comes to invasive species and their removal, it's a double-edged sword. We talked about this last week with like getting rid of the Tree of Heaven. I can think of one in particular. It's on about, I don't know, inner southeast Portland. Mm. And it's a big, beautiful tree, and it's right next to a big, beautiful sycamore maple. Two trees that are on the nuisance list. One is horribly invasive. The other, it's just kind of sort of invasive in the urban area. It's not that big of a deal,
okay,
ultimately. But they are both considered technically invasive species. If we were to remove them, there would be no trees left in this, like on this corner of this intersection.
Right.
And they are nice trees. Like just, if you just judged them by tree-ness, they're gorgeous. They're big. They have great canopies that come over. They're well-formed. Like they're just quality trees. So if you're, so first off, if you just want to see your land better, no, you cannot, you should not cut down your trees. That's idiotic.
Yeah.
You're not looking at land. You're just going to make a bunch of grass and look at your territory.
Look at my stumps. It's extremely stupid.
It is. It's like, well, if you wanted to do that, then live somewhere that doesn't have so densely packed trees. You live in the thick of a rainforest, unless you're on the east side of the peninsula, in which case we'll talk. So first off, don't do it. Second off, if you want to remove all of your holly, I actually have to say, probably that's a good idea.
Mm.
The good idea part of it is that they will have little berries that will get eaten by birds and animals, and they will go spread into the native ecosystems. And holly is very good at growing in the deep shade in these areas. It can take that.
And that's a lush landscape. Holly must be living the life, you know?
Yeah, you got to expect. It's getting a lot of water in the world. It's got great soil. It's probably loving its life. So I think, yes, you should get rid of it. If there is English holly on your property, cut it down. You're going to be cutting down a small, medium-sized tree that's pokey and pretty lame anyway. So if you can cut it down and plant a giant, big-growing conifer, of which there are many out there that will grow and be perfectly happy, I think that would probably be better.
Cool.
Does that mean clear-cut your property? No.
Yeah.
Because it's very unlikely, unless you bought an old holly orchard, that all you have is holly on your property.
Sure.
So.
But Casey, it's all invasives.
I'm sure it is. Get a management plan and then we'll talk.
Yeah. Don't come out and check, but just trust me, it's all invasives.
Just trust me. Yeah. All those needle leaf things, they're from Ohio.
Thank you so much for your question, Robin, and good luck with your new venture there. Hey, if you have a question for this podcast, become a Treemium member today, and you can ask them on the AMA tab on arbitrarypod.supercast.com. We have a bunch of different options, and we love all of our supporters. Thank you so much for keeping this podcast going. We are eternally grateful, and we're proud.
We really are. We're very proud. Proud of ourselves. I'm proud of you, Alex.
I'm proud of you, Casey.
Well, thanks. We've been doing a good job here.
Yeah. You know, I usually try not to. Well, you're going to laugh at that because I probably end up doing it so much anyway. Oh. But like talk about the behind the scenes of making this podcast. But we've been quite busy.
Mm-hmm. We sure have because we've been doing a lot. What you're hearing now happened a month ago.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Nice.
we're trying to take some time off, and that requires you got to put that time somewhere.
You got to put it somewhere.
It's not going to just vanish.
Precisely.
So I'm very happy that our week is over, and I am going to be very sloth-like this weekend.
Oh yeah. We are both sloth-like this morning. I was hoping you were going to message me. If you weren't, I was going to message you to start just a little bit later. Look at that.
And just like clockwork, I did.
Just like clockwork.
Well, Casey, I hope you have a good weekend. Get some arbitrary time in.
Thank you.
We hope the same for all of you. Thank you so much for listening to This Deadly STEM. We got one more for you, and it's
one
a doozy.
More.
And we'll see you then. Goodbye.
See ya.
Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp. Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals. If you want to support this podcast and become a Tremium member, head over to arbitrarypod.supercast.com. Thanks for listening.